Again, this morning we looked at the names of Jesus, celebrating the 12 names of Jesus. There's lots more names than that, but we just looked at 12 of them. But one of them being found right there in Revelation chapter 22 and verses 16. And then in verse 17, you have this wonderful invitation. And I thought about that tonight because I want to look at a few things here. And again, this is actually, the first part of that is found, and I won't look at those verses, but you see them in the book of Numbers chapter 24. It gives the title that out of Jacob, there would be one that would come, a scepter would arise, but a star would come out of Jacob. And that is a direct reference to the Lord Jesus. Actually, it was in the middle of a prophecy that the prophet Balaam was giving. And he says, I see him, but he's not near. And he saw him afar off, but it wasn't now. And you think about that. He was looking ahead, and he was looking ahead about 1,500 years. And he was looking ahead to the one who would someday rise up, and he would come, and people would see his star. All right, he would be like a star rising out. And remember Matthew chapter 2, it said there in Matthew chapter 2, and in verse 2, remember the wise men, they came along, and one of the things they said, we saw his star in the east. And I think they were seeing the physical reality of something, at least celestial, that was drawing them to the place where Jesus was born, that little town of Bethlehem. And I appreciated that number tonight. That was with the flutes. It was wonderful. But I was thinking this, that God prophesied and he moved people to write those prophecies down. And he breathed out his word and he told people he's coming. And you know what? He did come. That's a historical fact. And I mentioned that again this morning. And I think about it. For people who go through this season and don't stop at least to pause and think about Christ, Jesus Christ and who he was, they really play the fool. And I have to say that because if you go through this time and you say, well, who cares about Jesus? I mean, he's not really important. You're mistaken. He's so important that we date our very calendars based on him. You realize every piece of data that's sent, all the trillions of pieces of data that's been sent around the world today on emails and internet and every little piece of photograph that was sent digitally all has a time marker on it. And that time is dated based on the birth of Christ. People don't even think about that sometimes. We just go on. And I say all that because he's so important that at least you ought to look into who he is. But he's more than just an important historical figure. There's lots of those. He is the one who was prophesied about, and he's the one that did come. He came to this earth. At his first coming, he came as that babe in the manger. And then he grew up, and the Bible says that he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with both God and man. In other words, he grew up just like everybody else has to grow up. Went through, had to go to school, had to go and learn his Hebrew ABCs, right? And he had to learn math and all those things. And this is the infinite God who put himself into creation and humbled himself and became a man. That's what the Bible says. And in that process, he had to go through all those things that we do. He went through all those struggles, those temptations, other things. And yet, different than the rest of us, because he did it without sin, perfect and pure in every way. But you come to the book of Revelation, that's the end of the book, right? The end of the Bible. And there's another invitation to come. We're talking about the first coming, but you know there's the second coming of the Lord. And it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. There's two invitations here. Two that are found up there in that word, come. Come, like when you welcome somebody, like that. And you realize that the Spirit and the bride, that's the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, his ministry is to invite people to Jesus. I love that, because that's really what he does. And he does it better than anybody. But you know, it's also the churches, the bride. And the bride of Christ is the church. We know that from the context. If you read this section of Revelation 21 and 22, the bride of Christ is the church, the redeemed. And that's our eternal position with Christ as his heavenly bride. And I don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but I just know this, that the church will be a lot different than what it is today. I look out here today, I see some good-looking people, but you know what? I see some people that look like me a little bit too that are aging. Somebody called me old the other day. He said, if you shave that thing off, you look better. You know, they're probably right. I don't know, but they haven't seen what's underneath it. I can just say that. But you know what? All of us are aging, and we're getting, you know, it doesn't matter if you're young, old, whatever. We have those, the marks of a fallen world on us, the curse of sin. And it's undoing us, and eventually it will undo us, and death will visit us. But you know, you need not die eternally. You need not be separated from the Creator. You need not be separated because He came to earth and He invites us into a relationship with Him, salvation from our sins. And in doing so, you realize that you become part of the church. That's what it is in this age. And you become part of the bride of Christ. And that's an eternal thing. And the Bible talks about the bride of Christ. She's going to be spotless and radiant, glorious, like Christ. Now we aren't so always so spotless, and we aren't always so, even sin sometimes creeps in, doesn't it? And all that. But someday it'll be eradicated in heaven. And that's the scene that we come to here in Revelation chapter 22. He says this, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's the invitation. And there's four things here, and I'm just going to quickly go down through these verses. It's a great invitation message, is really. First of all, you see the cause of the invitation. The cause is that the Spirit of God and the bride are saying, come. And the first thing they're saying is, come, Lord Jesus. Come again. Come again and judge the earth. Come again and rule. You see, we sang songs tonight, come, thou desire of nations, right? Come and rule, it says in that hymn. And you know, I think about that. That's someday, speaking about the second coming of Christ. First time he came as the babe. Second time he comes as the Lion of Judah. And those kids that were here this morning, what does the lion do? Roar, right? Someday he'll roar, and it won't be a little roar. You know what? He's going to come, and he's going to put down every evil thing that's ever been. And he's going to set up a kingdom, the Bible says. And then someday, He, you know, you realize that this is even after that in the book of Revelation, and it talks about that eternal abode that'll go on. But there is that invitation, Lord, come. I wonder tonight if this will be the last time we celebrate Christmas here before the Lord comes for his church. And someday he's coming again. And you know, that is a given. He came the first time and they prophesied about it. And you know what? The prophets also said he's coming again. And you bet he's coming again. But there's another invitation. Let him who hears say, come. That invitation is to those that don't know him. And you know what? You have an invitation tonight, if you're a stranger to him, to know him personally. Not just know about him. Not just to celebrate Christmas or Easter or some other holiday like that. But to actually know him as your Savior and to be part. He's our groom, right? The bride and the groom. Well, that's the cause of the invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. But you know what? There's also the candidates. I call them the candidates. You know, who can come? Who can go and be invited to him? Well, I'll tell you who. It says, let him who hears. Now, the him there is the generic word for all mankind, just so you know. He's not, you know, excluding women there or anything like that, or boys or girls or anything. He's saying, let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires. Oh, I love that. Did you see that? It's universal. Do you know that? Whoever wants to come to Christ, guess what? He's available. He's there. That invitation is for you. That invitation is for me. I like that. The first part of that says, let him who hears. Do you know, I found out something that not everybody that hears actually listens. Yeah, my wife says, yeah, you're right, buddy. Yeah, absolutely. I know that. There's lots of times that happens, right? And that's happened, you know, and I get in trouble using personal illustrations, but some of you men are, you know, I know exactly what he's talking about. You know, your wife says something and you just say, yeah, you know, and she could have just said something like, does this make me look fat or something like that? And you say, yeah, you know, and like you thought it looked good. And like, no. And, you know, those are things that get us in trouble. What do? You heard, but you didn't listen. And, you know, there's people that they go out to church, they sit in church somewhere, or they, you know, might hear somebody talk to them or have a friend at work or somewhere. And you know, somebody sat down, told him about the Christmas story and told him about the about Jesus who came to save them from their sins. And they say, yeah, you know, that's interesting words, but they didn't really listen from the heart. One of the great things that the Holy Spirit does is he actually opens up the heart, the mind, so to speak, to have us understand the spiritual things. And that's part of his ministry of what we call illumination. And we're kind of celebrating tonight, thinking about a candlelight ceremony and that we have light. Well, we have spiritual light. It comes from God himself. And he gives us the Bible. And through the word of God, it says, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as we open up this book, it has a wonderful way of tuning our ears into listening so that we actually hear and we listen from the heart. And that's my prayer tonight. But it also says, and he or him who thirsts. You know, there are a lot of thirsty people out in this world. Not just people that are, you know, they're just thirsty for a drink of water, but they've been drinking a long time of the polluted things of this world. Some of us have been there in times past. And if I went around this room and I said, where were you when you were maybe younger, before you knew the Lord, and what were you doing on, you know, Christmas on such and such a date and all that? And there was some polluted things maybe you were involved in. And I think of that because the world offers some refreshment, and we can't ignore that. There's lots of fun and attractive things in this world, but I have to tell you that it'll always leave you lacking. There's always another drink in the bottle. There's always another woman or man to chase after. There's always another sinful pleasure, but the Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season, but like all seasons, it comes to an end. But you realize that what Christ offers in the deepest recesses of our hearts is a living water that goes beyond anything this world can offer. And all I can tell you is, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's all I can say. And you do that by faith, right? Let him who thirsts. And then whoever desires. I like that because it just leaves it open. Whoever desires. And there's that invitation. It's a universal invitation that way. Well, you know, there's also the cost of the gift. The cost of the invitation. And I like this verse because it's right there. The cost. It says freely. Now, I'm sure we don't. One of the things we do at Christmas is we give out gifts, don't we? We usually exchange gifts among one another. And if you get a gift, the word gift in itself means that it's something you received and someone else paid for it. Someone else purchased it. Someone else had the decency to provide that and to give that. And you know what? The gift of salvation, the gift of that eternal place with the Lord is freely given. Freely. It's free to us. It wasn't that it was inexpensive. It was so expensive that God, the only thing that would pay for sin was God himself. God the Son would come and he would give his life for us. He would die for us in our place. He would die there at the cross. And as his life blood poured out from him, and Mary, when she was off there watching her son die, you remember, she would have thought back. She thought back to that time when they took the baby Jesus and they brought him into the temple to dedicate him. And a man named Simeon looked at him and he prophesied and he said to Mary that a sword will pierce him and your soul also. And the Bible says she pondered those things in her heart. And you know, that's exactly what happened, that he was pierced for us at the cross. And all those years later, 33 years later, as Mary watched her son die and she watched his life pour out, she realized that the costly gift of salvation was very expensive. It required the Lamb's blood, the only Lamb that could ever take away sin, which was the Lamb of God. But it was free for us. And by the way, and this is the last point in this, there's one thing though. There's a catch, okay? So you have the cause, you have the candidates, right? You have the cost, but there's a catch also. The catch is this. It's you have to receive the gift. It's that simple. If I said to you, hey, I have a gift out there for every one of you. It's sitting over there in the fellowship hall on the other side of the building. And you know what? It's there. It's yours. Your name is on it. And all you have to do is go and receive that gift. Pick it up and take it home. It's yours. Well, you could say, well, I don't know. I don't know what he could get me that I don't already have. Or maybe I don't really like what he has gave me before. I don't know. You could say something like that. You could walk right out one of these doors and just leave, and that gift would still be there. The only way someone could take a gift is to take it and receive it. And that's the catch. Because it says, let him take the water of life freely. That's what you need to do. And I know many of you have heard this before, but you know, that's the simplest, I think, invitation in all the scriptures, is that you need to receive Christ. You say, well, how do I receive him? Do I have to go do something for that? No, you can't do anything for it. You can't earn it. There's not a thing you could ever do to give something for the salvation that he offers. All you need to do is receive him. And the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, to be called the children of God. Do you realize that? They were brought into a relationship by him and in that, and were saved from our sins. It's all done by trusting him, by faith. That's the invitation. And I would say it's a wonderful thing. And as you celebrate Christmas over the next a day or more, and you gather around with family and friends, that first and foremost, you're concerned for that part of it, for yourself and for others. Invite them to Jesus Christ. There's no one greater, and certainly no one better in all of that.